On the cross, Jesus spoke his last dying words. In the scriptures, the dying words of only three others were recorded: Jacob, Moses, and Stephen. The reason, perhaps, is that no others are found so significant. Jacob was the first of the Israelites. Moses was the first of the legal dispensation. And Stephen, the first Christian martyr. The dying words of each became great in the history of God's dealing with men. Not even the last words of Peter or Paul or even John have had human legacy. The Holy Spirit never guided a pen to reveal the secrets of their dying lips. People are always anxious to hear the mind of anyone who is approaching the mysterious moment called death. In his divine will, God left the thoughts of this dying man. For he, more than Jacob, more than Moses, more than Stephen's, was a representative of all humanity. In this hour he spoke from the pulpit of the cross, and every word he said to them was set down for the purpose of publication and an undying consolation. There was never a preacher like the dying Christ. There was never a congregation like that which gathered about the pulpit of the cross. There was never a sermon like the last words of Jesus. The Bible says that the soldiers sat down to watch him. The executioners expected him to cry, for everyone that had been nailed to the cross had done so before him. One Jewish writer wrote that those who were crucified cursed the day of their birth. They cursed the executioners. They cursed their mother, and even spit on those who looked upon them. Another Jewish writer recorded that at times it was necessary to cut out the tongues of those who were crucified to stop their blasphemy. The executioners expected a word, but not the kind of word they heard. The scribes and the Pharisees awaited his reaction, and they were sure that he who had preached, "Love your enemies and do good to those that hate you," would soon forget that gospel with the piercing of his hands and feet. They felt that the agonizing pain would scatter to the wind any resolution that he might have taken to keep up appearance. Everyone expected a cry, but no one, with the exceptions of the three at the foot of the cross, expected the cry they heard, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Forgive whom? Forgive Judas for betraying him? Forgive the disciples for deserting him in the garden? Forgiven Peter, who denied and swore that he did not know the man? Forgive the soldiers who had struck him with their hands? Forgive Pilate, who gave them Jesus instead of Barabbas in order to retain the friendship of Caesar? Forgive the soldiers who had nailed him to the cross? Forgive them. Forgive them why? Because they know not what they do. Or rather yet, because they know not what they are doing. If they knew what they were doing and still went on doing it, if they knew the crime they were permitted by sentencing life to death, if they knew what a perversion of justice it was to prefer Barabbas to Christ, if they knew what cruelty it was to take the feet that trod the everlasting heels and nail them to a tree, if they knew what they were doing and still went on doing it, unmindful of the fact that the very blood which they shed was capable of redeeming them, if they did this, then they would never be saved. Instead of being saved, they would be damned. It was only the ignorance of their great sin that brought them within the pale of forgiveness. Criminals, upon execution, either proclaim their own innocence or condemn the judge who sentenced them, or ask for a pardon. Jesus asks no pardon. As mediator between God and man, he extended pardon. If these 5 minutes have been a blessing to you, let us know. We would love to hear from you. Email us at BibleStrong316@gmail.com. We love you.